Hi, I'm Joe Graydon.
I'm Terry Graydon. Welcome to this podcast of The People's Pharmacy, where we bring you the stories behind the health headlines.
This podcast is brought to you by Reddix Industries, makers of Utterly Smooth Body Cream. 800-345-7339, on the web at uttercream.com. Millions of people pop pills to ease joint pain, calm anxiety, or get to sleep. Is there a better way to deal with common health problems? This is The People's Pharmacy with Terry and Joe Graydon.
Prescription drug commercials on TV promise a pill for almost every ill. There are drugs for insomnia, depression, high cholesterol, and restless leg syndrome. But do they get at the root cause of these health problems?
Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum is the author of Real Cause, Real Cure.
It would be nice if you had an owner's manual for your body that told you how to stay feeling great with basic preventive maintenance.
Coming up on The People's Pharmacy, we'll learn about Dr. Teitelbaum's recommendations for natural approaches to overcome chronic conditions.
First, this news.
In The People's Pharmacy Health Headlines, vitamin D supplementation did not produce meaningful reductions in blood pressure. Scottish researchers recruited 159 hypertensive patients over the age of 70. They were randomly assigned to receive either vitamin D or placebo every 3 months for a year. The dose of vitamin D was 100,000 international units each time. Based on prior studies, the scientists hypothesized that these large quarterly doses of vitamin D might lower systolic blood pressure. Although there was trend in that direction, the difference was not significant. Those taking ACE inhibitors like lisinopril or ARBs like valsartan did experience a greater drop in systolic blood pressure if they were taking vitamin D. There were also fewer falls among the vitamin takers, though here again the difference was not significant. Larger randomized trials are being conducted to see whether daily supplementation with vitamin D has a different impact on cardiovascular outcomes.
People with diabetes are at greater risk of chronic kidney disease. A new study shows, however, that a healthful diet can cut that risk significantly. The 6,000-plus participants in the six-year-long trial all had type 2 diabetes, but none had kidney disease at the start. Their diets were assessed through the Alternate Healthy Eating Index, a standardized way of scoring an international validated food frequency questionnaire. The researchers were especially interested in sodium, protein, and alcohol intake, as well as fruits and vegetables. Compared to people who scored lowest on the dietary index, the healthy eaters were 25% less likely to develop kidney disease and 40% less likely to die during the study. The researchers found that sodium intake made no difference on the risk for developing kidney problems. Those who consumed more animal protein and fewer high-carb foods were somewhat less likely to end up with chronic kidney disease. Moderate alcohol intake was also protective, along with fruits and leafy green vegetables.
A very large study called the Prostate Cancer Prevention Trial randomized more than 18,000 men to take either a drug called finasteride or placebo for 7 years. Finasteride, also known as Proscar, reduces the conversion of testosterone to dihydrotestosterone, thereby reducing the size of the prostate and controlling male pattern baldness. The new research tracked the men for up to 18 years and found a reduced incidence of prostate cancer among men taking finasteride. 10.5% of those on finasteride were diagnosed with prostate cancer, compared to 14.9% of those on placebo. Unfortunately, though, those taking the drug who did develop prostate cancer were more likely to have an aggressive form of the disease. The most important outcome of the entire study, long-term survival, did not differ between the two groups, suggesting that finasteride did not affect mortality.
A new study from Spain shows that the Mediterranean diet can cut the risk of stroke significantly in a vulnerable population. The PREDIMED investigation involves more than 7,000 subjects who were randomized to three dietary programs: the Mediterranean diet supplemented with nuts, the Mediterranean diet with additional olive oil, and a control group on a low-fat prudent diet. Over the course of the 5 years, the subjects with a genetic susceptibility to diabetes and stroke were three times more likely to suffer a cerebral vascular accident if they were in the control group. People with the same genetic makeup were at no increased risk if they were following one of the Mediterranean diets.
Food allergies are an increasing problem among young children. Pediatricians have been concerned that introducing potentially allergenic foods too early might predispose babies to develop allergies later. But there's not much evidence whether this caution is justified. Research from the UK now suggests that babies fed a wide range of fresh foods, including plenty of fruits and vegetables, are less likely to develop food allergies during childhood. Those whose parents stuck with commercially prepared or packaged baby foods were at higher risk. The researchers encourage parents to feed their babies homemade meals and avoid highly processed foods to reduce the risk of allergies later in life. And that's the health news from the People's Pharmacy this week.
Welcome to the People's Pharmacy. I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. Many common chronic conditions, from arthritis and anxiety to depression and diabetes, are treated with drugs that don't get to the root cause of the problem. When such medications are stopped, symptoms frequently return. Is there a way to address the underlying factors that are creating the disorder?
To help us tackle this question in depth, we turn to Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. He's a board-certified internist and author of Pain-Free 123, Beat Sugar Addiction Now, and his most recent book, Real Cause, Real Cure, co-authored with Bill Gottlieb.
Welcome to the People's Pharmacy, Dr. Teitelbaum.
Well, Joe, Terry, always a pleasure to be with you guys.
Okay, Jacob. You know, you introduce your book describing the idea that thousands of patients who have seen many, many doctors, undergone so many tests, and have been told, oh, dear, the problem's all in your head. Why is this scenario so common for so many conditions?
Well, we're seeing a lot of illnesses that are hitting on the metabolic level that doctors simply have not been trained in. And in medicine, we have a hard and fast rule. If I don't know what's wrong with you, you're crazy. Think back to multiple sclerosis when it used to be called hysterical paralysis. People with lupus were told they were neurotic until they developed a test specific for each of those diseases. We're doing that now for things like spastic colon, fibromyalgia, and a host of other metabolic problems.
Is there anything that patients who find themselves in this very uncomfortable situation can do to help themselves get the right diagnosis so they can actually get some treatment?
Absolutely. When you have a doctor who says, I don't know what's wrong with you and you're crazy, what you do is you take a rolled up newspaper and swat him on the nose and say, bad dog. You know, not basically.
This won't endear yourself to very many doctors. Well, now, we need to point out you are a medical doctor, so it's
absolutely
not as if you're bashing your colleagues from a position of not being in the trenches yourself.
Joe, here's the thing. If I don't know what's wrong with the person, my job is to say, I'm sorry, I don't know. Here's how you go find somebody who does. For most of these illnesses, they often fall into areas that holistic physicians are far better trained in. So if you go to a website, www.abihm.org, not .com, but .org, you'll find over 1,800 board-certified holistic physicians who know how to treat these problems that most medical physicians simply are not yet trained in.
Well, the thing that you're really getting at here is that there are a lot of conditions that are, A, misdiagnosed, but there are also a lot of conditions for which we don't actually think about the root cause of the condition. So somebody comes in with, let's just say, a number that's a little bit out of whack, or maybe they're feeling depressed or they're a little bit anxious, or maybe they're having some breathing problems that are very easily diagnosed as maybe it's asthma. Well, we've got drugs. We've got drugs to treat your anxiety. Here's some alprazolam, formerly known as Xanax. Here's some Advair for your breathing issues. Very rarely do we stop and say, what's causing the problem? And that leads us to the title of your book, Real Cause, Real Cure. Tell us about this problem of, you know, what's underneath the symptoms.
Well, that's the thing. If you don't treat the root cause, say you just give a medication for high cholesterol, and then the person's going to come in with muscle pain, and then you're going to give them a Motrin or NSAID, and then they're going to come in with a bleeding ulcer and a heart attack and a stroke from the medication. So it gets kind of crazy where instead, say you have asthma, well, the root causes are not that difficult. They're often allergic, and there are very good natural ways to treat allergies. They often have to do with magnesium and vitamin C and other nutritional deficiencies, and they have to do with excess inflammation. So a simple herb called boswellia or frankincense is dramatically effective for treating arthritis problems because you're going after the root causes.
Well, actually, because you've mentioned asthma and because it's something we're rather interested in, there is a theory out there that one of the root causes of hard-to-treat asthma is infection. Infection with something called chlamydia pneumoniae. You've also been fighting the chronic fatigue syndrome battle for years, where, again, as you've pointed out, a lot of your colleagues say it's all in your head. And there has been the thought that, well, maybe there's some infectious nature behind it. We just haven't discovered it yet. And yet we end up treating people with asthma with corticosteroids primarily, and we end up treating chronic fatigue syndrome with goodness knows what. It's sort of, you know, my analogy is that if you came into the dermatologist's office with a terrible rash and the dermatologist asked you, well, what were you doing last weekend? Oh, well, I was digging in the garden. And what about those three-leaved plants? Oh, yeah, I did come into contact with some of those. Oh, well, you've got poison ivy. The answer is stay away from poison ivy. I'm not going to give you corticosteroids for the rest of your life.
I got to go after those root causes. And as you noted, the infections are one of a number of root causes in asthma. But a lot of those infections are coming because of hormonal deficiencies and nutritional deficiencies, low zinc, low adrenal function, and even low thymic function. So each of these can go one step back as you get closer and closer to the root. The treatment becomes easier and easier and more effective.
I wonder if you'd tell us a little bit more about adrenal function and how you would investigate whether someone had low adrenal function. I think this is becoming sort of a buzzword.
What are the adrenal glands? Where are they? And why are they so important? And then, as Terry said, how do we diagnose adrenal insufficiency?
Well, the adrenals are two little glands that sit on top of the kidneys, and these are your body's stress handlers. When you go through stress, your body is burning through your sugar stores to keep your brain going, and blood sugar levels drop. And the stress handler glands make cortisol to keep your blood sugar stable so you have the energy to deal with the problems that are coming up. Now, if you just take a lot of sugar, that actually makes the blood sugar drop. It's not a good way to do it. And the standard testing is to do basically a morning fasting cortisol. And if the level is so low that it will kill you, the doctor will say you have a low adrenal. But if it's somewhere in between death and functioning well, the doctor will say the test is normal. So here's how you tell. I ask the person this very simple question. Do you have periods where it's like a light switch goes off and you have 3 minutes to get fed or you're going to kill the people around you? It's what I call feed me now or I'll kill you syndrome. And if the people with them are all shaking their head and pointing at that person and going, yes, you've got low adrenal. It's that irritability when hungry. If you want to find people with low adrenal, go into the news media where you're often on deadlines. Go to marriage counselors or go to divorce lawyers' waiting rooms, and you'll see them in there because of the mood shifts that happen from the blood sugars dropping. That simple thing, feed me now or I'll kill you, crashing with stress. You need adrenal support.
And what is adrenal support? How do we fix this? We know a couple people who have to be fed now or else.
Well, there's some simple things, and it goes on different layers. Number one, you want to give the adrenal glands what they need to heal up and work better, which would be the licorice, vitamin C, and pantothenic acid. Also, adrenal glandulars can be helpful. Then you want to give the body what it needs. The licorice actually helps raise cortisol levels as well. And the next thing is to get rid of unnecessary stresses in your life. For example, you may have toxic exposures. This can include toxic bosses, toxic spouses, toxic jobs. There's all kinds of things. But a very key thing, when I was a kid, Madison Avenue advertising execs had a mantra, and it was that sex sells. And now their mantra is fear sells. So you turn on TV news 24/7 to watch to see what the crisis of the day is. And most of what's on the news, God bless them, is a fiction. It's just meant to entertain you and engage you so you keep watching. So here's the thing. If you're watching any of the newscasts and network news, whatever, as long as it feels good and it's entertaining you, that's great. But when it stops feeling good, there's a really good Tai Chi move that's helpful.
What, turn that knob?
Yeah, you pause, you center, you reach over to your side, grab the remote control, point at the TV, and click off.
I like that one.
Jacob, I love licorice. I mean, truly, I am a licorice lover from way back. But we understand that overdosing, even indulging too much in natural black licorice, can have all kinds of negative consequences. Can deplete the body of potassium. It can knock sex hormones like testosterone down. So don't we have to be very careful about licorice?
If you get too much licorice, you're going to go ahead and you can see adrenal toxicity because it raises the adrenal levels too high. So I recommend that people take – there are many good combination things. My favorite is one called Adrenal Stress End. It has the licorice and all these things in safe levels. Also, you can get a cup of tea. Stash has licorice tea. And you can just take that tea bag and make yourself one cup of licorice tea each morning, and you're going to get a good solid amount, but without the risk of toxicity. So it's good to know what you're getting, just as I said, so you don't overdose.
The other advantage of the licorice tea, of course, is that you're not getting the sugar that would come along with candy.
The licorice tea is naturally sweet.
Jacob, the adrenal glands, you know, I think most people don't think about them, but they've all heard of a word called adrenaline. Does that come from the adrenals?
Absolutely. The adrenals are two glands in one, and you have the outer part that makes the stress handler cortisol, but the inside part makes adrenaline. And that also can get fatigued, although very often that part's on overdrive while the outer part is getting exhausted.
Well, we all know what that adrenaline rush is like. You know, when the blue light from the police car is starting to follow you is not a good feeling.
Definitely not. You're listening to Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, author of Real Cause, Real Cure. His other books include Pain-Free 1-2-3 and Beat Sugar Addiction Now.
We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll find out how to find the owner's manual for your body and get the extended warranty.
Why is it that some people come down with colds at the drop of a hat, while others hardly ever sneeze?
We'll find out why sleep is so essential and the impact of vitamin D on the body.
Is there a connection between iron deficiency and restless leg syndrome?
We'll also explore the imbalances behind kidney stones and thyroid disorders.
You're listening to The People's Pharmacy with Joe and Terry Graydon.
Welcome back to The People's Pharmacy. I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. The People's Pharmacy is made possible by Red X Industries, makers of Utter Cream and Utterly Smooth Extra Care Cream enriched with urea to moisturize dry, cracked skin. 800-345-7339. The website, uttercream.com.
And by We Patients, where you can learn from others about possible triggers and potential treatments for your headaches or migraines. Online at wepatients.com.
If you'd like to order a CD of this show, you can call 800-732-2334. This is show number 914. That number again, 800-732-2334. Or you can order the show online at peoplespharmacy.com.
Today we're talking about the underlying causes of common health problems. Many medications are good at covering up symptoms or changing the numbers of a lab test, but do they get at the fundamental factors that trigger disease in the first place? Inflammation is a key cause of many of our chronic conditions, and there are a number of natural approaches that can get to the root of the problem.
Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum is a board-certified internist and the author of a number of books, including From Fatigued to Fantastic, Pain-Free 1-2-3, Beat Sugar Addiction Now, and the latest one, Real Cause, Real Cure, The 9 Root Causes of Most Health Problems and the 28-Day Plan to Cure Them.
Jacob, you know, I think a lot of people wait for something to break. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But they, you know, end up in the doctor's office when they're having pretty serious symptoms. We talk a lot about preventive medicine, but oftentimes we don't have a clue what that really means other than, yes, eat healthy food, exercise, stop smoking, and that's about where it ends. When you think about real cause, real cure, and the idea of preventing breaks, what are you getting at?
Well, just like you have an owner's manual for your car that tells you how often you should do your oil changes, get your spark plugs changed and tires and the rest, it would be nice if you had an owner's manual for your body that told you how to stay feeling great with basic preventive maintenance. And then it's good to have that same manual that tells you what to do when something breaks down. I do want to note, though, Joe, for most people, if they're feeling great, their energy is good, they don't have any pain, they're happy, and they're not showing inflammatory or other problems, I think it's perfectly reasonable for them to ignore most of this and just keep doing what they're doing because it's working. The good news is that your body will often give you warnings before it gets to the point that things are so severely broken that you're going to get into real trouble, warnings such as fatigue, pain, and not feeling good.
Well, let's talk about the real cause behind a lot of conditions, because that's what you've talked about in your book. And so I just want to start with something pretty basic, colds and flu, because I was told many, many years ago by a professor who said, in essence, if we had 1,000 people in our auditorium and we pumped cold and flu viruses into the air so that it was dispersed equally throughout the entire 1,000 people, only a small number, relatively speaking, would actually get sick. More than half would stay just fine. Why?
And that's absolutely so, because how do you know if, you know, which people are going to get the flu and which not? Well, the ones that are zinc deficient and vitamin A deficient, those are the ones whose immune systems will not be working properly because of those. People who are not getting enough sleep, which is also critical for immune function, will be more likely to catch infections. And those with low adrenal, because cortisol is also critical for immune function, are more likely to catch recurrent colds and flus and bugs. So just tuning up nutrition, sleep, hormonal imbalances, and if you're out and about during flu season, wash your hands when you get back home. Those simple things will prevent most people catching most infections.
Does vitamin D play a role here?
Vitamin D is another biggie. And that's sunshine. Vitamin D is critical for immune function as well. And that's why zinc and A are too important, but not the only nutrients, of course. And this advice that we're giving people to avoid sunshine is insane. It is deadly. I can picture in a museum 50 years from now where they'll have the Medical Hall of Shame and an exhibit where you'll see doctors telling people avoid sunshine, and the little kid will be with a mother tugging on his dress saying, "Mommy, Mommy, were they crazy?" And the mother will look down at the child and say, "Yes, dear. We need sunshine." So the proper advice is avoid sunburn, not sunshine.
Now, you mentioned sleep as essential for immune function, and I think a lot of people do recognize that it is super important. But the problem is that getting enough sleep can be tricky itself. What are the recommendations?
Well, if you go back historically, until 130 years ago, the average night's sleep in the United States, average, was 9 hours a night. We're now down to 6 3/4, which is a 30% pay cut as far as our sleep is concerned. So I'm going to say, first off, if the amount of sleep you're getting leaves you feeling great, it's enough for you. Not everybody needs the same amount of sleep. But again, if you're tired, achy, get a bunch of bugs, things like that, you want to look at your sleep. Aim for at least 8. And step one, get rid of those things in your life that you are not enjoying, that you really don't need to do. I remember I used to be chairperson of and be on over a dozen committees that I dragged my sorry bottom home from, you know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock most nights. And my wife would say, well, how was it? I said, awful. And she said, is it doing anything socially useful? I said, no, it's a waste of everybody's time. And she said, why do you do these? And it was like a light bulb went off in my head. I resigned every one of the committees except for one, which was starting a new school, which I loved. And I have never missed them for a second. So make a list of the things you do in your life, including watching the evening news when it's not pleasurable anymore, and the things that don't feel good, that you don't need to do to, you know, make your living and put a roof over your head, get rid of them. Take that extra time and sleep.
Well, we hear over and over again, insomnia is this huge problem in America. You've pointed out we don't get nearly enough. But if you go to a lot of physicians these days, you will get a Z drug, and that would stand for Zopiclone.
Zolpidem. S-Zopiclone or Zaloplon.
And these are drugs that people are more familiar with as Ambien and Sonata and Lunesta. And before them, it was, you know, the sleep-inducing drugs, the benzodiazepines, drugs like Valium and Librium and that whole category. We're now learning that such drugs may increase the risk for falls, especially in older people, and might even be associated with dementia. So what are the causes of insomnia? Back to the, you know, real cause, real cure. And how can people actually get a good night's sleep? Because a lot of people get anxious. Well, I can't get a good night's sleep. Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum says sleep is essential, but here it is, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm looking at the alarm clock, and I'm scared because I'm not going to get a good night's sleep. So it's a double bind.
Well, here's what you do. First of all, if we talk about making time, the next thing is if you can't sleep, it's often stress related, and excess stress will cause what's called hypothalamic dysfunction. That's the sleep control center needs energy to work. So paradoxically, if you don't have enough energy, you won't be able to fall asleep and stay asleep. So things that improve energy production, what we call shines, will help. And we can talk about that in a bit. Nutritional deficiencies like low magnesium and low iron can be contributing as well. Sleep apnea from excess weight. But stress is really the biggie. And the nice thing is that there are many herbal remedies that will help. The smell of lavender. You just take some lavender oil, spray it on your pillow, or put a drop under your nose on your upper lip. Will help you sleep. They even have it in capsules now that you can take it. Herbs, valerian, passion flower, Jamaican dogwood, hops, theanine. There's a host of herbs that are excellent and will leave most people sleeping like puppies. Now, for some people, their cortisol stress hormone levels are too high at night. They're not dropping the way they should so you can sleep. And in those cases, you can tell that if your mind is wide awake at bedtime, ashwagandha and phosphatidylserine, there's a mix called Sleep Tonight.
What was that first one?
It's an herb called ashwagandha.
Would you spell that for us, please?
Ashwagandha.
Thank you.
Gandha. That one I have to think about myself. So. Mm-hmm. And it balances cortisol levels. So it will bring down the cortisol levels at night while leaving them okay during the day so you have the energy when you need it. But that simple mix, you'll know in 1 or 2 nights, it'll balance out the cortisols.
And the other one you mentioned was phosphatidylserine. Mm-hmm. Is that right? What dose?
Yes. Well, anywhere from 50 to 500 milligrams. Now, let's take a look at a couple things like restless leg syndrome, where you're going to find that that is an iron deficiency. It is not a recruit deficiency. Simple things like getting some melatonin, 1/2 milligram at bedtime, can make a big difference. Things like Don't do exciting things right before you go to bed so you're all wound up. You know, with your kids, you don't have them watching a terror movie and then say, okay, good night, honey. You get something calm and soothing, and that's a routine that you develop for them, that they have this, you know, nice, friendly little movie thing or show that they watch, and then they're off to bed, or you read them a book and off to bed. And our bodies are like that too. We like routine, and we like if that routine includes something calming as you get near bedtime.
So obviously, if you do have RLS, you might want to ask your doctor to check and see if you are iron deficient.
With iron deficiency, you're going to see more things like cold intolerance, brain fog, and fatigue. And iron makes dopamine, which is critical for movement. And when it's low, you're going to get jumpy legs. Simplest way to tell if you have jumpy legs is ask your bed partner if they're getting kicked around during the night, or see if your sheets and blankets are kicked around. But when you get the ferritin blood test for iron, realize that if it's normal, that means nothing. A normal blood level of ferritin will be present in over 88% of people with horrible iron deficiency. Get that blood test result yourself and make sure the ferritin level is over 60. If not, you take the iron to bring it up.
Jacob, I got a call the other day from a fellow named Louis who said, what can I do to prevent another bout of kidney stones? It was an unbearable pain, and I don't want to go through it again. I've had it once, and I'm told it can come back again. So what causes kidney stones, and what can you do to prevent recurrences?
Well, Louis is a very smart man to not want to go through that again. That's one of the worst pains in the world. And most of the kidney stones are calcium stones, calcium oxalate. The amount of calcium you eat does not affect it, even though some doctors will tell people to avoid milk and stuff. That's not necessary. What you want to do is take things that will help the – it's like if you put too much salt or sugar in a glass, it crystallizes out. And that's what's happening, is the calcium is crystallizing out in the urine. So you want to have things in the diet that increase the solubility, the ability of the stone to stay dissolved. This includes magnesium, 200 milligrams a day, and vitamin B6, 25 milligrams a day. In two double-blind studies, this combination was shown to decrease recurrent kidney stones by 90%.
And what about lemonade? I mean, we've heard that citrate can be beneficial, but I'm not sure people, you know, have ever considered the idea of homemade lemonade. We don't want a lot of extra sugar in there. Could be beneficial.
Well, sweeten it with stevia, and that way you can have the best of both worlds. The other thing, though, is you may want to decrease high oxalate foods, things like tea, coffee, even chocolate, although I consider chocolate a health food. So there's some of these things, but only if everything else has failed. Otherwise, you want to keep these things in your diet. They're good for you.
Jacob, I'd like to talk a little bit about one of the most common conditions in America today, and that's hypothyroidism. In other words, a sluggish thyroid gland. Number one, any ideas why there is such an epidemic of this condition? And number two, is there anything people can do to actually get at the root cause and relieve some of the symptoms that often go with it, including the depression as well as the fatigue?
Absolutely. The main cause of hypothyroidism for most of the last several decades is an autoimmune disease called Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Autoimmune diseases in general are becoming more common, especially because we're having digestive problems where we're absorbing nutrients before they're completely digested. It's called leaky gut. And the loss of digestive enzymes. We're also seeing a lot of chemicals in the environment that disrupt hormone function. So those are a number of some of the more common things. But we have a new player coming in causing low thyroid, and actually two new players. One is iodine deficiency. Iodine deficiency used to be epidemic in this country until they said, well, you have to put it in the salt, and they also put it in wheat. Over the last three decades, the flour producers have been using bromides, which block iodine instead of iodine. We've seen a 50% drop in iodine intake, and people are now getting iodine deficient, causing hypothyroidism. In addition, excess stress is causing this major control center in the brain called the hypothalamus, which controls thyroid function, to malfunction. And the way you can tell that's going on is that you're going to be unable to sleep despite being exhausted, because that same control center controls sleep as controls thyroid.
Well, In that case, is there a way to address the root cause of hypothyroidism rather than just taking Synthroid, for example?
I'm glad you asked. There are so many things that can be done. First of all, it's good to know what's going on. And especially if you're pregnant or thinking of getting pregnant, you want to do a blood test called an anti-TPO antibody. That blood test will give you a yes or no as to whether you have autoimmune thyroid disease. And you need to know it. In pregnancy, if it's missed, you'll get a 400% increased rate of miscarriages. That's totally preventable. But what you want to get is iodine, at least 200 micrograms a day. I'll go ahead and have people take a higher dose, actually 6,250 micrograms, for 3 to 4 months. You can get that in a form such as triiodine. There's many things. But 3-4 months is enough to fill the tank. And then a good multivitamin will have the 200 micrograms of iodine in it. I like one called the Energy Revitalization System. It's a good vitamin powder. Beyond that, eating seafood, kelp, seaweed, those sorts of things will be high in iodine. Making sure that your multivitamin has some tyrosine, a little bit of selenium, 50 micrograms of selenium is enough. All of those kind of things. And also making sure you don't have iron deficiency, because iron deficiency will make you hypothyroid despite normal tests. So those simple things can go ahead and help boost thyroid function quite a lot. In addition, if you're getting that can't sleep even though you're exhausted problem, suggesting hypothalamic dysfunction, for that, the treatment is what we call SHINE. Sleep, hormonal support, infections, nutrition, exercise, those kind of things will help that control center recover so your body can make the thyroid hormone on its own.
You're listening to Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, author of Real Cause, Real Cure. His other books include Pain-Free 1-2-3 and Beat Sugar Addiction Now.
You know, a lot of the recommendations are just common sense. And Grandma often would make those same recommendations a couple of generations ago.
Well, absolutely. I think most people have heard, get a good night's sleep, eat your vegetables, wash your hands, go play outside where you'll get some sunshine.
Right. And drink enough water. You know, that's the other way to reduce your risk of developing kidney stones. You know, drink water. You'll dilute that calcium oxalate so it doesn't form stones. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll ask Dr. Teitelbaum what to do for painful joints.
Where can you get high-quality omega-3 fats? And what are they good for?
We'll also find out about supplements for heart health, what to do for fibromyalgia, and how to deal with osteoporosis.
You're listening to The People's Pharmacy with Joe and Terry Graydon.
Welcome back to The People's Pharmacy. I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. The People's Pharmacy is brought to you in part by Red-X Industries, makers of utterly smooth foot cream with shea butter, helping dry, cracked feet feel soft and smooth. 800-345-7339. The website is uttercream.com.
And by We Patients, where you can learn from others about possible triggers and potential treatments for your headaches or migraines, online at wepatients.com.
If you'd like to order a CD of today's show or any People's Pharmacy broadcast, you can call 800-732-2334. Today's show is number 914. That number again, 800-732-2334. Or you can find it at our website, peoplespharmacy.com.
We're talking about the fundamental factors behind so many chronic conditions. Inflammation is one common process behind arthritis, diabetes, and even Alzheimer's disease. Are there natural anti-inflammatory foods and supplements that can make a difference?
We're talking with Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, board-certified internist and author of a number of books, including From Fatigued to Fantastic, Beat Sugar Addiction Now and his newest book, Real Cause, Real Cure, The 9 Root Causes of Most Health Problems and the 28-Day Plan to Cure Them.
One of the most common complaints of aging baby boomers is joint pain. You know, these are pretty much active people, people who liked hiking and golfing and playing tennis and all kinds of things. And now all of a sudden their knees are hurting, their hips are hurting, their fingers are hurting. And they're looking around going, gee, A, what caused it? And B, what can I do? And all they do is end up oftentimes in the local neighborhood drugstore stocking up on naproxen or Aleve, ibuprofen. People are calling it vitamin I. And I'm hopeful that you might have some other thoughts about what causes arthritis and what to do for it that might not put a hole in your stomach.
Well, anything that ends in the word itis, like appendicitis and arthritis, means that it's an inflammatory problem. So number one, you want to go after inflammation. We're seeing a lot more inflammation than we ever used to because of the diet to a large degree. The high sugar intakes in the diet, the decrease in fish and omega-3 intakes, the increase in grain-fed beefs, all of this tends to increase the inflammatory hormones in our body and trigger arthritis and other inflammation. In addition, lack of vitamin D because of people being told to avoid sunshine, and also inactivity. The body has a use-it-or-lose-it approach, and your joints are going to be stiff if you don't use them. So if all the exercise you're getting is stepping on the gas pedal or using the remote control, your body's going to be telling you. So there's simple things you can do. For starters, people need to know that these arthritis medications called NSAIDs cause over 30,000 totally preventable deaths a year in the United States, 16,500 from bleeding ulcers, and a doubling to tripling of heart attack death and stroke. So let's note a couple things. There's a four-step program that I'll give people for arthritis that very often makes your arthritis go away. Number one, you want to feed the joints the nutrients they need, which means a good vitamin powder, adding glucosamine sulfate, 750 milligrams twice a day. Now, there's a problematic side effect from glucosamine. It's been shown in studies compared to people taking nothing to decrease the risk of dying during the time you're taking it by 17%. So that's a problem because that's going to put a stress on our Social Security system. Fortunately, the NSAID medications help our Social Security deficit by killing people off really fairly rapidly. Other nutrients, chondroitin, 400 milligrams twice a day. Recent double-blind study showed that to be helpful, even MSM. So giving your joint nutrients. Number two, giving natural things to balance inflammation. Things like curcumin, which is what makes Indian food yellow, turmeric. You can find that in very highly absorbed forms because most curcumins are poorly absorbed. But there's a BCM95 form. You can find it in things like curcumin or healthy knees and joints. Very helpful. Boswellia, also known as frankincense, can drop arthritis pain by 90% while also decreasing asthma and colitis symptoms. The curcumin side effects are decreasing the risk of Alzheimer's and decreasing cancer risk. And then willow bark, which is where aspirin comes from, but has been shown in studies where they actually look in the stomach, to not cause any stomach irritation and to be twice as effective as the ibuprofen. You can find those in combinations like N-Pain and a host of others. So those simple anti-inflammatories make a big difference. And then step three, go for walks. Go out in the sunshine, stretch those joints, put a hot pack over the joints if you need to for 10, 20 minutes, and then stretch them. Towards the end of that time, you'll find it's much easier to stretch those joints without pain. And then in a small percent of people who have persistent arthritis, I'm going to look for food allergies. That's usually not needed, but again, there is that subset that that's the cause of their arthritis.
Jacob, two things. One is the curcumin. And I think it's appropriate for us to mention that some people are allergic to it and will develop a rash and should stop taking it if they do. And the other is that it can interact with anticoagulant drugs. So someone who has to be on an anticoagulant drug like warfarin probably shouldn't add curcumin to that mix.
And that's a really important point, Terry. And for people taking Coumadin in general, you can't add anything, literally anything, without their doctor checking the blood test to make sure that the bleeding time levels are staying stable.
Right.
So that's an important thing. Most of the other things, virtually everything else that I talk about, you're not going to see common worrisome drug interactions. But this is one, Coumadin is one which will interact with many, many things in the environment and our diet, many things overall.
Absolutely true. Now, I wanted to ask you also, you mentioned anti-inflammatory supplements, and I wanted to ask you about omega-3 fatty acids, which we usually get from fish oil. We got a very interesting email from an ophthalmologist who said, I did a several-year trial of oral omega-3 for treating dry eye syndrome. The symptom was dry eye, the sign was rapid tear film breakup, and the treatment was 1 full ounce of flaxseed oil daily for 1 month, and the results were remarkably good. The patients were delighted with their improved symptoms, and they said so many other things got better as well as their dry eyes. So they talked about vaginal dryness subsided, acne rosacea improved, dry and brittle hair and severe dandruff improved, cracked cuticles and splitting nails healed. It was just amazing. So have you seen this type of reaction?
Absolutely. For dry eyes in general, we'll talk about in the book, what you want to give would be things like the fish oil or the essential fatty acid component. And let me make a note so people, because this can be helpful for people. When we're talking about fish oils, we're not talking about the triglycerides and things. We're talking about the omega-3 essential fatty acids, which make up a small part of the oil. So for those of you taking 8 fish oil pills a day to try to get the benefit, and then every time you burp, every cat in the neighborhood is like, their nose goes up like an infield fly and they're chasing you around because you have the fish oil burps. You don't need that. There are new forms that just have the omega-3s, things like Vectomega, and that will help with dry eyes. It'll help with the heart, you know, blood fats, things along those lines. Also, you want to add in magnesium and B vitamins, which help with the dry eyes. But here's another wonderful essential fatty acid. Let that ophthalmologist know. That's sea buckthorn oil. These come from berries and bushes up in the cold Iceland and the northern climes. Increases hydration in tissues in general. So dry eyes, dry mouth, dry skin. And a lot of people, as they're aging, they feel like they're kind of drying out. So making sure you get the essential fatty acids from fish oil, but also the omega-7s, such as the Hydra-7, the sea buckthorn oil. You'll find that after about 6 weeks, your tissues are feeling moist again.
Can we talk just a minute about heart disease and in particular something called heart failure, congestive heart failure? I think most Americans are very confused about heart disease and heart failure. They think it's sort of the same thing, but heart failure is quite different, and an awful lot of people die from heart failure every year. You've looked into it. You've actually studied the Cochrane Review on this, and you've found an herb that might be helpful for people at the earlier phases of congestive heart failure. What is it?
Well, heart failure has a wonderful recipe mix that can be dramatically effective. Hawthorn, if you're looking from an herbal point, the Cochrane Review, which is a very traditional, most respected review for standards of practice in medicine, notes that hawthorn is highly effective for the treatment of congestive heart failure. Now, most physicians won't hear about it because it's also dirt cheap.
So if the doctor doesn't know about it, and patients actually could buy this on their own, is that safe?
It's a very, very good idea. But here's the recipe. If you know anybody with heart disease in general, because it increases efficiency, or heart failure in specific, you want them to get coenzyme Q10 at 200 to 400 milligrams a day. You want them to, and that's to be taken with food, ribose, 5 grams 3 times a day, acetyl L-carnitine, 1,500 milligrams a day, magnesium and B vitamins, unless they have kidney failure, in which case they can't do the magnesium. And the vitamin powder I talked about, the energy revitalization system vitamin powder, has plenty of those in it. And then for severe cases, you want to get magnesium orotate, which in a recent head-on study increased function dramatically and cut death rate by about half. This mix, after 6 weeks, people will be feeling dramatically better. these things. Again, if you're taking Coumadin, find a holistic doctor to work with so they can check your bleeding times. But as compatible with the other medications, dramatically improves heart function, available in any health food store. And people will know. It's funny, I live in Hawaii, and there is a fellow who was given a 2 months to live death sentence by his doctor for heart failure. And he lived in Alaska, and his wife said, "You are not freezing to death in Alaska. If you're going to die, go die in Hawaii where it's warm." And I met him, and he told me the story, and he said that his doctor said there's nothing he could do. And I told him, "You're right. The doctor could do nothing for you, but it doesn't mean there's nothing that you can do." And I gave him this recipe, and within a few weeks, he was walking a couple miles a day. I got an email from the man a couple years later, and the subject heading, it said, "You saved my life." And for most cases of even severe heart failure, in severe heart failure, you want to use ubiquinol instead of coenzyme Q10. This simple recipe will turn it around and certainly leave people functioning and feeling dramatically better.
Well, that is a very heartwarming story. Jacob, you are an expert in treating fibromyalgia, and I'm wondering if you can give us a brief overview of what you would do for someone with fibromyalgia.
Well, fibromyalgia represents an energy crisis that has gotten so severe that people have effectively blown a fuse or tripped a circuit breaker. That circuit breaker is called the hypothalamus. It's a control center in the brain, and it goes into hibernation until energy levels go up. The problem is that, as we mentioned earlier, that controls many hormones as well as sleep. So if you have widespread pain and you can't sleep, even though you're exhausted, you have the fibromyalgia-related process, even if you have other conditions like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis with it. To restore energy production to turn that circuit breaker back on, you use SHINE, which stands for sleep, hormonal support, infections, nutritional support, and exercise as able. Too much exercise and you'll crash and burn. Our double-blind study showed that 91% of people improved with an average 90% increase in quality of life using this treatment protocol. And we've treated and continue to treat thousands of people from all around the world. This is a very treatable disease. But I want to note one other thing. Not everybody can afford a consultation or can find a doctor who knows how to treat them. But there's a simple energy analysis program on my website, which will go through questions, and it'll even allow you to enter pertinent lab tests if you have them available. You don't need the lab tests because the symptoms and labs point to the same place. But if you have those, it'll analyze all of that and tell people how to optimize energy, which is a good start for anybody with an energy crisis to be doing. That program is available, again, free at endfatigue.com. So E-N-D, and then the word fatigue.com.
Finally, osteoporosis. I mean, we are facing an osteoporosis epidemic, and a lot of people think it's a, you know, deficiency in Fosamax. What's your approach on the causes and the cures of osteoporosis?
Well, so you're seeing a vitamin D deficiency. It is not a calcium deficiency, but vitamin K deficiency, magnesium deficiency, hormonal imbalances such as low estrogen, low testosterone, even elevated thyroid, and lack of activity are the major causes for osteoporosis. Calcium, as we've said for years, this is not a calcium deficiency. People do not need extra calcium, and taking calcium by itself increases heart attack deaths in women by 31%. Now, you can add vitamin D and magnesium and vitamin K to settle that down. But the good news is that the mineral strontium is a power hitter for osteoporosis. In ongoing long-term double-blind studies going out beyond 8 years now, it has been shown to be 170% as effective as the Fosamax is, even during the Fosamax's powerful first few years. It is very, very safe. You want to take it away from the Fosamax a little bit. You want to take it away from calcium and vitamin D. So I just have people take the strontium at bedtime, 340 to 680 milligrams. It is dramatically effective at increasing bone density.
Jacob Teitelbaum, what would you like our listeners to take away from your book, Real Cause, Real Cure, The 9 Root Causes of the Most Common Health Problems and How to Solve Them?
Two key things. One, you have the power to stay feeling great and to do what you need to do to stay healthy. But as importantly, if you use the things to keep you healthy so you can go back to doing a life full of things you hate, you have done nothing. So the key thing is to start tuning into your feelings and see what feels good to you. Start getting more and more of those things in your life and start withdrawing your energy from those things that don't feel good or making changes, say, in a job, so that you give up the things you've outgrown and you start moving to new things. If you do things that feel good, you'll find that your body will reward you, not only with a great life, but with an abundance of energy.
Dr. Jacob Tadelbaum, thank you so much for talking with us on The People's Pharmacy today.
Terry, Joe, always a pleasure.
You've been listening to Dr. Jacob Tadelbaum. He's a board-certified internist and author of Pain-Free 123, Beat Sugar Addiction Now, and his most recent book, Real Cause, Real Cure, co-authored with Bill Gottlieb.
And we should say that if anyone is interested in trying Dr. Tadelbaum's recommendations for heart failure or osteoporosis or another serious condition, you should really work with your physician rather than taking off on your own.
Yeah, I mean, clearly anyone with heart failure needs to be under very close supervision from a cardiologist.
Lynn Siegel produced today's show. Russ Henry and Al Wodarski engineer the program. Dave Graydon edits our interviews.
The People's Pharmacy is produced at the studios of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.
The People's Pharmacy theme music is by B.J. Lederman.
The People's Pharmacy is made possible by Radix Industries, makers of Utterly Smooth Extra Care 20 Cream with 20% urea for extra skin protection. 800-345-7339, online at uttercream.com.
If you'd like to order a CD of today's show or any other People's Pharmacy broadcast, you can call 800-732-2334. Today's show is number 914. That number again, 800-732-2334. You can also place an order at our website, peoplespharmacy.com.
And when you go to the website, you can tell us what you think about today's show, share your own story, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. You may also want to sign up for our free online newsletter or the free podcast of the show. You'll never miss another People's Pharmacy program again. You can also share it with a friend. It's all there at peoplespharmacy.com. In Durham, North Carolina, I'm Joe Graydon.
And I'm Terry Graydon. Thanks for listening, and please join us next week.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If so, please consider taking a minute to write a review on iTunes. And thanks for listening to The People's Pharmacy.